People are texting in their first experiences with beer, Doran. Texter, like idiots, we threw each can into the lake only to find 48 cans under the dock the next morning. We then spent an hour in the lake picking them up. When did you start?
Me?
Yeah. You were a good kid in high school.
Yeah, like 15, 16.
Yeah, it's same with me.
Yeah. But like I didn't like continue it. It was like a one-time thing. I didn't like, oh, next weekend, let's go find more beer. Well, weekend after that, let's go find... No. Did it like once.
We had beer the first time, and then you couldn't get your hands on beer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd need someone who was 21 to get it, and you can't steal a whole bunch of beer out of your dad's fridge because you figure he'll know. My dad always said he counted, and then years later admitted, I never counted. I just lied about that. Well, but I bought it.
The older I got, like, I mean, we did dabble a little bit because my parents were flight attendants. I don't even know if they know this story.
So they'd be gone.
I don't know if my dad knows this story, but, like, they would bring home the little flight bottles, and they would just have them in the basement, and there'd be hundreds of the little, like, Jack Daniels, the Svedka, and, like, all kinds of stuff. And me and my boys would be like, all right, let's go stuff these in our pockets and go into the down to the ball field.
That's pretty good.
We do that all the time.
That's
they would
good.
Never know. I mean, there's so
You'd
many.
You have no way of so knowing many. That. We would always do it after we'd have like a big party. Like my parents would always have these Christmas parties and we'd always have birthday parties and summer get-togethers and people would always be over our house. We were always the party house. And that would be when I would strike.
Yeah.
Because I'd figure my dad would have no idea
Zero.
How many Uncle Phil had or whomever. So you just stash a bunch away. But more often than not, like you said, you wouldn't be partying every weekend in high school because you couldn't get your hands on the beer.
And I didn't have any older brothers or sisters.
That helps.
Yeah, that does help for people. But like the parties that I did go to, one of the three, they were obviously had older siblings that were supplying.
They'd stock it up.
Yeah.
We'd wind up drinking like gin from a water bottle.
Yeah.
Just straight gin.
Yeah. Well, what was it? Three olives?
Ugh.
Bananas or something. I remember us drinking that nasty drink. Ooh.
Somebody else texted in about Three Olives Banana.
Really?
Yes. Someone else texted in. They said, we used to drink bottles of that.
Yeah. Sick. Bacardi.
You can text in your first drinking experiences. Kids, don't drink. Don't do drugs. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. On the topic of the flag football in the Olympics, Doran, someone writes in on Twitter that I should beef up. I could be the starting center for the USA team.
Can you snap?
2028. Can't be that hard.
Have you ever snapped the football before?
Yeah, just fooling around.
Mm.
Give me like Kyler Murray.
Your quarterback?
Yeah, give me Kyler Murray or Michael Vick. Vick would be perfect.
Vick would be great. I think he did play, though. I think he did play a couple years ago. He had a team. I know that.
He was a flag football guy?
I think he had a flag
He'd
football team.
He made perfect
team.
Sense.
Yeah.
Because you got to run around. You can't protect very long, which is why I could be the center.
Like, I mean, if we think of former players that realistically could play or unrealistic could play, like, I would call up, like, Cordell.
What up, Cordell?
You know, like, somebody like that. But realistically...
Do you have to play defense, too?
Ooh. That's a good point.
Cordell's 52 now. I mean, I'm sure he could still scoot.
He can still throw it, I know that.
Oh, yeah. That's the last thing to go, right?
Yeah.
Because I see Bostic all the time, those videos you post. He's slinging the thing around.
Whistles.
I saw his kid, Trey. How old's Trey?
8.
What?
Yep.
He's a moose.
Mm-hmm.
He was spinning the ball on a Lebo field the other day. His arm, no joke, and this isn't saying much stronger than mine, and I'm 34.
Mm-hmm.
I got like a Chad Pennington kind of arm. There was a good piece on the difficulty of the Steelers' schedule. We'll get to that coming up in the next segment. But the big news in the NFL right now is the NFL owners' meetings are going on. They're trying to ban the tush push. The Green Bay Packers look like such babies. We'll tell you why in a little bit here. But this one matters more to me. Ari Myrov tweeting out. He covers the NFL for the 33rd team. Significant. NFL owners will vote next week on a proposal to change the playoff seating format. He tweeted this last week. He's since added to this. Teams would be seeded strictly by regular season record rather than automatically awarding the top 4 seeds to division winners. If teams have the same record, a division title would serve as the first tiebreaker. After the first round, teams would be reseeded as the number 1 seed would always play the lowest remaining seed, so that's not different. And the NFL wants to increase late season competitiveness and excitement and reduce teams resting starters week 17 and 18. Am I in the minority on this for hating it? Like, where do fans come down on this at 412-928-9370? I'm a big division truther, man. I love the division.
Yeah.
I realize that if you win your division, even in this format, you still get a guaranteed playoff spot, but I like it when you get an AFC North Division Championship hat and t-shirt, and these games are so important because to the winner go all the spoils. Like, you go on the road in 2008, and Santonio Holmes catches that football, and it barely crosses the threshold of the goal line. And you know, not only does a win guarantee you a playoff spot, but it guarantees you a home game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ultimately play the Ravens in the AFC Championship at home. That's what I want on the line.
Absolutely.
You design your team to play six division games. First and foremost, you are designing your team to beat your division opponents. I like that. I think rivalry is maybe the most important thing in sport. And I know, like, Pitt and West Virginia, when they've played the last 3 years, that matters. There's no conference affiliation now that matters now. Like, it's not for Big East supremacy.
Right.
And for me, that's lost a little bit of the luster. Doesn't mean I don't hate Pitt, and Pitt doesn't hate West Virginia, and 13-9, and eat bleep Pitt, and all that fun stuff. But, you know, Pitt could lose to West Virginia and still win the ACC. West Virginia could still lose to Pitt and still win the Big 12, I hope, I pray. I want it to mean more. I want beating the Ravens, beating the Bengals, ultimately to lead to a home game. That's what I want. So I don't like this at all.
Just take out divisions then if you're going to do this, right?
That's what...
Take out divisions and then just play... So if you're in the AFC, just play what? You know, if you're going to play the division team twice, just play another AFC team.
Yeah.
Like, play the Dolphins instead of playing the Bengals twice if you're the Steelers. Play the Bills instead of playing the Ravens twice. Play,
like, rotate it somehow.
Rotate it somehow where it's you're playing a different AFC team instead of... basically they're getting at.
I think that...
What's the point of playing
twice? I don't want to see that, but you make a lot of sense. Like, if you're going to go off of record, then just go off of record.
Right.
Like, forget the divisions then altogether. And you want it to be fair and balanced? Okay. Then 1 through 7, the best 7 teams,
yeah,
they're your playoff teams, and seed them fully according to record then. Don't let the team that wins the division just automatically get into the playoffs. Now, that would take the divisions out of it altogether, so I'm not for it, but like, they're kind of half-measuring this thing,
yeah,
here,
right,
which is goofy. Texter, for the love of God, can Pitt, West Virginia, and Penn State get into the same conference? That'd be nice. That'd be real nice. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Neil Walker's going to join us at 9 o'clock. Coming up next, the Steelers' schedule, while initially it looked easier than last year's schedule, well, there's been some more digging on it. And, man, hold your horses. I don't know, Ritz. I don't know if it's actually easier than it was last year. We'll tell you why when we come back. Do you know what Ritz means, why we're saying that?
No.
It's because when I drop a white guy saying, instead of calling me a derogatory term.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I got it now. That's creative.
Yeah.
I said, hold your horses.
Hold your horses.
I think everyone out there is familiar with Warren Sharp of Sharp Football. He's a numbers guy. He's a filmer breaker downer guy. He's got a mustache. It's a good mustache.
I'm not a fan of him.
I know you don't like Warren Sharp. Why, though?
Well, he's just arrogant. Always talking negative. Never says anything positive about anything, in my opinion.
Didn't you call him out on Twitter.com?
Yeah.
I think you did.
Had the backing of the McAfee show.
McAfee went after Warren Sharp.
Yeah, and so did Tone Diggs. He commented on the tweet.
Damn!
Mm-hmm.
See, I forgot about that.
Yep.
Well, should I just throw the segment out there?
No, go ahead. Let's hear what he has to say. I was actually going to send it to you, but...
You did send it to me.
Oh, did I? Okay.
You did. You don't even remember what you're doing anymore.
No, I don't.
You sent it to me last night. So we know the Steelers' schedule was very tough last year, and they played 3 games in 11 days. They played on Christmas, the Chiefs, and the Ravens, and the Eagles. So the 2 Super Bowl combatants, and then one of the best teams in football, definitely one of the most physical teams in football. And the Steelers didn't win any of those games. Well, this year they're finishing off real tough again. They got the number 9 toughest schedule based on who they play, according to Warren Sharp. But after week 7, they have the number 1 most difficult based on the opponents, and the number 3 most difficult, here we go again, Doran, based on rest. So they'll play Buffalo, Baltimore, Miami, Detroit, Cleveland, and Baltimore again during this stretch. They have a 3-day rest disadvantage against Buffalo. So Buffalo's going to have 3 more days of rest. That's what that means. 1-day rest disadvantage against Detroit, a 3-day rest disadvantage against Baltimore, a 7-day disadvantage against Cincinnati, and a short week road game versus Cincy on Thursday Night Football, where the road teams definitely are pushing a boulder uphill. Isn't this where Mike Tomlin's supposed to make his money, though?
Yeah.
Like, this is what that tells me. Like, last year, before the season, it was utilized as an excuse. And I take full responsibility. Look at that. It's bull. This is crap. They're playing all their division games and 3 games in 11 days. It's not fair. And it wasn't fair. I'm not going to give them that excuse now. Everything that Warren laid out there, that's all just fact. The rest disadvantage stuff. You don't know who's going to be good. You can guess. You can surmise. But it's not who you play. It's when you play them. The fact of the matter is, 3-day rest disadvantage against Buffalo, 1-day rest disadvantage against Detroit, 3-day rest disadvantage against Baltimore, 7-day rest disadvantage against Cincinnati. All right. It's on the coach to game plan, to come up with great strategy, and find a way to get some victories down the stretch. Now, it's tough on the Cam Haywards of the world. Mm-hmm. It's tough on the TJ Watts of the world. You could have a 42-year-old quarterback. I don't care. This is a guy who once said, we're going to unleash hell in December. You are judged in this town by not just who you beat, but when you beat them. And a couple of years ago with Kenny Pickett as a rookie, when Art Rooney II was talking to the assembled media, he basically said, we're a team on the rise, because they started out so poorly, and then after the bye week, they got quote-unquote hot. That was one of the things Art said to prop his organization up. Look at us. We're a team on the rise. Last year, they go 0-5 down the stretch. If it happens again, this is tough. Fully admitting that. I don't care. It ain't an excuse. Mm-hmm. Win the games. Mm-hmm. Like, compared to everyone else after week 7, yeah, okay. Number 1 most difficult based on opponents. Number 3 most difficult based on rest. Don't care. Find a way to win some games.
Football's hard.
Get off to a good start. Yeah, get off to a good start. Hit the ground running so that you have a little bit of equity built up. And then I'm not asking you to beat all those teams, but can you find a way to not go 0-5 down the stretch, and then we have to hear all offseason, well, they were hurt, they were banged up, all the schedule disadvantage. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
It's a wins and loss thing here, man. Like, there, you can make excuses for Tomlin for losing playoff games in the Killer Bees era because Le'Veon Bell's groin came off against the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and Ryan Shazier got hurt, and then against the Broncos, you don't have Antonio Brown. You don't have Le'Veon Bell. You don't even have D'Angelo Williams in that game. That's all true. People don't care. They don't ask how. They ask how many. So I am pointing out that, yes, the Steelers have a difficult end-of-season gauntlet that they're going to have to meander through this year. I just am not going to use it as an excuse in 2025.
Well, this is why you go out and you get a Jack Sawyer. This is why you get a Y.A. Black. This is why you get, obviously, your first-round pick in Derek Harmon and Caleb Johnson, is because you feel like that these top picks of your draft are, you know, transition-ready-ish to be role players for whenever that they have to go in at that point, that they're built up to be prepared to facilitate, I guess, the brunt of the season. Like, that's why you draft these guys, is to do that. So maybe they're getting in the front of it, and I know that they didn't know exactly where their schedule would land, but maybe they're preparing for that, and, you know, knowing that TJ Watt is going to be banged up. Cam Hayward's going to be banged up. So let's get 2 defensive linemen. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you look ahead and you're like, all right, well, we have this schedule and we think it may be tough and we're probably going to get screwed again. So let's kind of backfill as much as we can our draft and our roster with these young guys.
Well, and let's take it a step further too. Like, you want to play defense and you want to run the football? When you are at a significant rest disadvantage at the end of the season, you're going to grind yourselves down too.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, at the very beginning of the season, and I think Tomlin has always had a problem with this. It's not just about the game that Sunday. It's about seeing the season at large.
Yeah.
You don't need TJ Watt playing 90% of the snaps. Just like you're talking about. You draft Jack Sawyer. He plays 15 snaps. Okay, that's 15 snaps. TJ Watt doesn't need to play.
Right.
Highsmith and Herbig, rotate those guys.
Get them
rotate
ready.
Your defensive linemen.
Get them ready.
Yeah, and then they are. You're right. They're ready for the stretch. You're not wearing down your older guys, and then they should be, these young players should be ready to step in and make an impact at the end of the season. And how about you throw the football a little bit, score some points so you don't have to rely on this defense? Because at the end of the year, if it's all, we got to win these games 15-12, then against Buffalo and Detroit and Baltimore and Cincinnati, you're just going to get smacked around.
Smacked around.
Smacked around.
Yep.
We see this basically at the end of every year now. This defense wears down. And I don't know if it's because they're getting figured out or because they're just losing time of possession so substantially. But at the very beginning of the season, the end of the season has to be on the mind of Mike Tomlin. Because I just don't want to hear, oh boy, woe is me. They lost to Buffalo because they had a rest disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they had a 7-day rest disadvantage against Cincinnati. Don't care. Dom's over there, sitting very close to the microphone. Do you want to come to the aid of your man, Mike Tomlin? Is that what's happening here?
No, I don't know why you decided to pick a fight with him this morning. I'm very confused.
It is a Tuesday in May. Always a good time to pick a fight with Mike Tomlin.
If they have a tough closing schedule, I don't know how you can necessarily pin that on him.
I'm not pinning it on him.
It seems like that's what you're doing.
I just don't want it to be an excuse. And for the Tomlin believers out there, we're going to hear, oh boy, well, they did fall apart at the end of the season, but look at how they got screwed by the schedule makers.
Is it not a valid excuse?
No, you got to win games.
Against teams that are clearly better than you with a better quarterback?
Hmm.
Who picked the quarterback?
I don't know. I don't even know who their quarterback is right now.
Whose fault is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. Mikey T, the James Franklin of the NFL. Look, I understand it's not easy down the stretch. I just can't. I'm not here for excuses. The best football teams ascend. And I'm not saying sweep these games.
No.
But get out to like a 7-2 start, something like that, like they did last year, and then finish the damn job.
I mean, can we admit that it was a tough stretch last year, the 11 days, like the teams that you played? I mean,
no.
You can't admit that? Who's the teams they played in those 11 days? You remember?
Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
Kansas City.
Oh, the Super Bowl? Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that what you're striving for?
Oh, yeah, but still, it's not
and
like
and Baltimore, whom
you didn't play Carolina in the Saints.
You know what happened to the Steelers, losing that game against Baltimore? They go on the road, they lose. Russell Wilson throws a horrific pick six. He fumbles the ball near the goal line because he's trying to make a damn play. And from that point forward, they put Russell Wilson in the box. And I'm not saying they go out there and beat the Eagles. I'm not saying they go out there and beat Kansas City. But they put the guy in the box. And then you give yourself no chance to do anything special down the stretch.
Do they have
George
Pickens?
Because you're playing scared. No, they didn't have George Pickens.
It's very hard to win football games when you don't have a receiver.
Correct, which is their fault. That's not the schedule's fault. George Pickens goes down. Who are we going to turn to? Van Jefferson. And right now, they're in that same spot. Same spot. Well, we got beat down the stretch, and we lost DK Metcalf. Well, shame on you for having to turn to Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson. Feel like time is a flat circle and we're all living in a damn simulation. Green Bay Packers are losers. They have revised their proposal to ban the tush push at this week's league meetings in Minneapolis, according to Adam Schefter. The revised proposal would, it reads as such, Norm. No offensive player may push or pull a runner in any direction at any time or lift him to his feet. Use interlocking interference by grasping a teammate or by using his hands or arms to encircle the body of a teammate in an effort to block an opponent. Push or throw his body against a teammate to aid him in an attempt to obstruct an opponent or to recover a loose ball. or assist the runner except by individually blocking opponents for him. The effect prohibits an offensive player from pushing, pulling, lifting, or assisting the runner except by individually blocking opponents for him, and the reason is for player safety and pace of play. I mean, listen, I get all of it, but there is zero evidence that players are getting injured. Mike Tomlin said that when he was at his breakfast where Caboli was falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough of a body of evidence here to say, other than common sense, that this is a play that can hurt guys. Like, I think all of us understand, yeah, this is a potentially dangerous play, but there haven't been enough plays where there's enough data. And then pace of play, what are we talking about there?
Right, that doesn't make any sense. It's actually quicker because you're quick snapping it.
Quick snap, and then I guess what? Because you have to do measurements or whatever? I mean, how's that different than the quarterback sneak?
It's usually pretty cut and dry. Like,
do you get it or not?
Yeah, you see, like, whenever the Philadelphia Eagles do it, like, it's not only do they get it by an inch, they get it by like a couple yards.
I think they're averaging over 2 yards per play on that,
right?
Which is insanity. And make no mistake, that's why the Packers want it banned.
Yeah.
Not because players could get hurt, but because they can't stop it. Washington couldn't stop it. So Washington kept jumping off sides on the goal line in the playoff game, which was hilarious. And I commend them on doing it because, hey, let's try something to stop the damn thing. But until there's a big enough pile of data that says guys are getting hurt, then I don't think it should be banned. I think it's an ugly play. I'll be clear. Like, it's not aesthetically pleasing, and I would not mind it being banned eventually. But if the number one reason is because nobody can stop it, then that's crap. And Mike Tomlin was right when he said you shouldn't be punishing people for coming up with good ideas, for being innovative.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't necessarily know. Like, you could still run it, like, I mean, and use it how they were using it with tight ends, get a bigger body in there and just have them lean forward. I still think that the play would be successful without somebody having to push behind them. I think that you could still do that. Like, that would be passable, right? Like, if nobody's pushing you and you're just kind of quarterback sneaking it,
yeah,
but your splits are cut even more and you like have a bigger body. Like, I'd put a D lineman in there.
Or you snap it to Darnell Washington,
right,
and have that moose.
It's basically the same thing.
Gain like a yard or two.
Like, you're trying to tell me that Jaylen Warren is giving that much effort to push Darnell Washington forward that he's going to get it. No, Darnell Washington's going forward.
If I'm the Steelers this year anyway, buddy, I don't want Rodgers quarterback sneaking at one time. He's 42 years old. That Achilles could pop. It's like pushing a giant sled.
Yeah, they ain't doing that with him.
No. Mason. You bring in Mason. He can do the quarterback sneak. God, is he good at the quarterback sneak. He could be your quarterback sneak guy. With that goatee, ain't nobody want face full of that goatee.
Yeah, he gets his helmet ripped off and smacked in the head.
Bang, 15-yard penalty, automatic first down.
Yep.
Take that. Just have Mason mutter under his breath. Not even say anything insulting, but people might think.
Right.
Bang, 15 yards. There you go. You want to talk about being innovative, Tomlin? We figured it out. Texter, when are we going to ban slant patterns because receivers keep getting hurt going over the middle when they're throwing hospital balls? Well, we kind of are cutting back on that.
I haven't seen a receiver get hurt in a long time because of the new rules. I mean, I might be wrong, but I don't think anybody's getting decapitated anymore.
See, the texter there is making the point. Like, yeah, if routinely offensive linemen, defensive linemen, quarterbacks are getting hurt on this play, then yes, absolutely,
right,
you ban it. If you've got a play in football that is leading to more injury than other plays, yeah, like the wedge.
On the kickoff return.
Yeah.
That made sense.
Upon thousands of plays and data tell you that the kickoff, not safe.
No.
Okay, so you change it. And it's goofy, and it's stupid, and it's super hard for me to explain to non-ball knowers, right? Like my wife, what the hell's a landing zone? I have no idea.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's complicated.
But even before that, banning the wedge.
Like, right.
I mean, I was running down there on kickoff, and the wedge was three defensive linemen over 300 pounds, like, and I have to go through it? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Was that scary?
Yeah. Like, I mean, it...
I mean, you're running a 4.3 40 down there.
Right.
Like, your hair's on fire, and you run into...
It was almost like it was like you're just giving up your body. Like, it can't do anything.
There's nothing you could do.
No, you're just doing it.
You're just supposed to break the wedge.
Yep. Just kind of suck them up. breaking the wedge. You're not even supposed to make the tackle because you're not going to break the wedge. You're just trying to just take them out so somebody else can make the
right.
tackle.
Right. You're sacrificing yourself.
You're a sacrificial lamb. You're the test rat. The lab rat.
Is that your favorite thing?
To
when you're
do
in
that?
The NFL, yeah.
No.
Were you good at it?
Yeah, because I was bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, bigger than most guys. Most guys were like 190 pounds trying to break it. Like, I was 220-some pounds.
Yeah, like your standard gunner on the punt unit running down there and trying to bust that thing up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
Kiesel.
He did it?
A little bit.
He set the wedge, right?
And he did that.
Like, me going against Kiesel. Like, come on. It just didn't make sense.
All right, more on this. We got Neil Walker at the top of the hour to talk about these woeful Pirates and whether or not a schism could be created in this locker room. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Neil Walker going to join us at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Gene Lamont was here during yesterday. Jim Leland drove him to the stadium. I can't believe it. Like, what the frick? And the guy we all wanted to manage the team, Terry Francona, sitting in the other dugout. So you had Terry Francona, Gene Lamont, and Jim Leland. And you're 18 games under 500. It's a nightmare for these Pirates. And I like the idea of bringing Gene Lamont back. I do. I mean, he caught astray from me in my rant yesterday. But it's just so weird to me. Things are going bad. You know what we got to do? We can call up Gene Lamont. You call up Gene Lamont, 1993 Manager of the Year. And then 1997 was steering the ship of those freak show Pirates that, you know, played over their skis, but still finished four games under 500. All right, this is Adam Gretz, who's a great follow on Twitter, knows his hockey stuff, big Pittsburgh sports fan. He must have been listening, or the timing is just outstanding. He writes, when did the NFL turn into a league of crybabies that makes teams push for rule changes whenever they lose a game or can't stop something or something goes against them? That is 100% right.
Yeah.
My God, did the Saints bitch and moan when you had the pass interference, non-pass interference at the end of that game against LA a few years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was incessant. Uh-huh. The owner was involved. I think there was state legislation.
Right.
I mean, we saw it this year, and it's not just the NFL. I mean, we saw it with West Virginia's governor when they didn't get into the NCAA tournament. Well, we got to sue. We got to sue.
It really has become that, though.
Just take your lumps.
It really has.
The Green Bay Packers can't stop the tush push. It's not safe. Okay, let's see the evidence. If people are getting hurt, we'd love to see it. That would be a great reason to ban the play. Well, we don't have any. It just looks like people would get hurt. Well, then quit bitching. Quit crying. It's soft. The Lions. Well, if we would have lost the last game of the season, we'd have had to be a wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
So let's change the entire playoff format in the NFL. No, you've been good like three times in 50 years. Don't be a baby. Stupid. And I hate the tush push. It's an ugly play. Ugly. It looks like rugby. It's ugly.
It's not that ugly.
If I want to watch rugby, I'll go to Ireland. Wait a second.
Yeah, there you go.
If I want to watch rugby, I'll watch rugby. It ain't rugby. Pushing a quarterback, pulling a quarterback, throwing a little person. We don't need any of that stuff.
Yeah, well, listen. You got to do what you got to do to win.
Offenses are so tough to stop in this league as it is, and then you add the tush push. So, like,
it's an offensive league.
It is. I want to see the pretty offense. Pretty offense.
Like 7-on-7 offense. What's pretty offense in your opinion?
Slow motion. Brett Favre drops back. Ball's in the air for 47 seconds. Lands in Darnold Driver's arms. 70 yards in the air. That's pretty offense to me. What's pretty offense to you?
Anything that has to do with the ball going to the tight end, the smartest players on the field. That's pretty offense.
What's pretty offense for you, intern Dom?
Hmm.
Not 3 yards in a cloud of dust?
No, not that.
It's not Najee Harris on second down and 11 with 9 guys in the box and just calling a dive play?
You know, not that
pretty offense is to me is whenever I think of a nice offense to watch and to be like, wow, they are actually scheming and this is an offense, is LA. Like, I love watching their offense.
You get some Wham blocks in there, Dorn.
I mean, you get everything, and it's creative. It's innovative. It's different, even though it looks the same every week. And Stafford, obviously, I played with him, but he has the ability to throw every single ball and to fit it in the windows. Like, his arm is insane. And people probably, you know, you think about Mahomes, you think about even Josh Allen with the big arms, but if you sit there and watch Stafford and some of the throws he makes, it's art.
Is Stafford Paul Skeens?
Yeah.
It just sort of hit me. Playing the Lions forever.
And then go to L.A.
They go to L.A.
Yeah, he is. Yes.
Yep. All right, we'll talk to Neil Walker about the Pirates' starting rotation, which has been very good, and the lineup, which has been very bad. Like, how does that feel in the clubhouse, do you think? I'm interested in his opinion there, his opinion on Gene Lamont coming back. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal services. Cloudy all day today, high of 66. Tomorrow, rain all day, high of 62. Matt Capstorn used to wear 62 for the old Buccos. They used to play those game shows on the Jumbotron at PNC Park. They still do. And one of them was guess the Pirates pitcher. And the first two clues were too difficult. And the third clue was his name rhymes with Fat Chaps. And so from that point forward, I've always thought of Matt Capps as Fat Chaps. And I feel bad about it, but there's nothing I can do. Neil Walker next. It's Fan Morning Show.